Hello, Sun Sounds listeners. This is Michael Shannon, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading for Arizona history. It's early morning on October 26, 1881, Tombstone, Arizona Territory, 6:15 a.m. Virgil Earp is leaving the all-night poker game in the Occidental where Ike Clanton stops him and asks him to carry a message to Doc Holliday. Ike's message is, "The damned son of a bitch has got to fight." When Virgil informs Ike that he cannot carry that message because he's an officer of the law, Ike turns to the marshal and spits, "You may have to fight before you know it." Virgil makes no reply and goes home to bed. 8:45 a.m. Ned Boyle wakes Wyatt Earp at his home on Fremont and tells him of Ike's threats. Boyle quotes Clanton as saying, "As soon as those damned Earps make their appearance on the street today, the ball will open. We are here to make a fight. We are looking for the sons of bitches." Wyatt stays in bed a while and then rises and goes down to the Oriental Saloon, where Harry Jones tells Wyatt that Ike is armed with a Winchester and a six-shooter and is hunting you boys. 9 a.m. Ike Clanton goes into Kelly's wine house. He will continue drinking and making threats there until 11 when he leaves and goes to Hafford's. Officer Andy Bronk comes down to Virgil's house for a commitment regarding a prisoner. While Virgil is getting it, Bronk says, "You had better get up. There is liable to be hell. Ike Clanton has threatened to kill Holliday as soon as he gets up. He's counting you fellows in too." Virgil waves Bronk off and goes back to bed, hoping the situation will burn off by itself. 9:20 a.m. Virgil Earp is awakened again and told that Ike is hunting him with a Winchester and yelling at passers-by that as soon as the Earps show, the ball will open. 12:10 p.m. Ike is in Hafford's complaining that the Earps have not shown. He leaves in a huff to go hunt on Holliday. Kate Holliday rises from her bed in Fly's boarding house and goes into the photo gallery. A man comes in with a rifle, looks around, and leaves. Moments later, Mrs. Fly comes into where Kate is and says, "Ike Clanton is looking for Doc." Mrs. Holliday immediately wakes Doc and informs him that Ike Clanton is hunting him down with a rifle. Doc sits up in bed and replies, "If God will let me live long enough, he will see me." 12:15 p.m. Wyatt leaves the Oriental and runs into Virgil. They compare notes and split up. Wyatt taking Allen Street, Virgil going up Fifth Street and turning west on Fremont. 12:20 p.m. "Hello, Ike. Any new war?" is John Clem's ironic greeting as he passes Ike, talking under his breath, to someone on the corner of 4th and Fremont in front of the post office. Mayor Clem is on his way to lunch at the Grand Hotel and has just left his office at the Epitaph. The mayor has no idea of the impending storm and walks on oblivious. 12:30 p.m. Virgil finds Ike Clanton on 4th Street between Fremont and Allen in the mouth of an alleyway with a Winchester rifle in his hand and a six-shooter stuck down his breeches. Virgil walks up behind him and grabs the rifle in his left hand. Taken by surprise, Ike half turns and then lets go of the Winchester and starts to draw his six-shooter. Virgil hits him over the head with his pistol. Ike falls to his knees and is disarmed. Virgil asks Clanton if he was hunting for him, and Ike tells Earp yes, and adds, "If I had seen you a second sooner, I would have killed you." 12:35 p.m. Virgil escorts Ike to Judge Wallace's courtroom, but the magistrate is not there. Ike is left in charge of policeman Morgan Earp, while Virgil goes to get the judge. Virgil wants to get this over quickly and get back to bed. 12:40 p.m. Wyatt Earp comes in and sits down on the bench opposite Ike. Clanton looks over at Wyatt and says, "I will get even with all of you for this. If I had a six-shooter now, I would make a fight with all of you." Morgan, who's standing to the right of Wyatt holding the confiscated weapon, says to Ike, "If you want to make a fight right now, I will give you this one," and holds out Clanton's own six-shooter. Ike starts to get up and take it when Campbell, the deputy sheriff, pushes Clanton back in his seat, telling Ike that he will not allow any fuss. Wyatt then says to Ike, "You damned dirty cow thief, you have been threatening our lives, and I know it. I think I would be justified in shooting you down any place I should meet you, but if you're anxious to make a fight, I will go anywhere on earth to make a fight with you, even over to the Sam Simeon among your own crowd." Clanton replies, "I will see you after I get through here. I only want 4 feet of ground to fight on." 12:55 p.m. After Wallace's examination of Clanton, Ike is fined $27.50. Virgil asks him where he wants his arms left, and Ike says, "Anywhere I can get them, for you hit me over the head with your six-shooter." Virgil takes Ike's weapons to the Grand Hotel bar and leaves them. 12:57 p.m. Wyatt steps out of the courtroom and meets Tom McLowry, who says to Earp, "If you want to make a fight, I will make a fight with you anywhere." Wyatt says, "All right, make a fight here," and at the same time slaps McLowry in the face with his left hand while drawing his pistol with his right. McLowry has a pistol in plain sight on his right hip in his pants but makes no move to draw it. Wyatt tells him, "Jerk your gun and use it." Tom makes no reply, and Wyatt hits him on the head with a six-shooter and walks away. 1:10 p.m. Wyatt walks down to Hafford's Corner, goes inside the saloon, and buys a cigar. He then steps outside and stands by the door. In a few moments, Frank McLowry and William Clanton walk by in a warlike mood. They are coming from the Grand Hotel and turn up 4th, going into Spangenberg's gunsmith shop, where they meet Tom McLowry and Ike. Wyatt boldly follows them up there to see what's going on. 1:17 p.m. A dozen onlookers are gathered in front of Spangenberg's gunsmith shop. A horse has joined them up on the sidewalk with his head in the door of the gun shop. Wyatt, as deputy city marshal, spots the horse illegally parked and walks up to pull the horse off the sidewalk. Reaching in the door, Wyatt grabs the horse's bit and commences to back him off the sidewalk. As he does so, Frank McLowry rushes outside and takes the reins from Earp and backs his horse into the street. Virgil, hearing that his brother is facing the cowboys alone, he quickly comes down to assist Wyatt, and they both witness the cowboys inside putting cartridges in their gun belts. 1:18 p.m. Virgil is approached by several miners who tell him that two more cowboys just rode in. Ike was seen walking up to them and telling them about being hit over the head with a six-shooter. One of the men on horseback was overheard to say, "Now is our time to make a fight." A rumor quickly spreads that Ike has telegraphed Charleston for more cowboys to join him. Virgil Earp walks down to the Wells Fargo Express office and fetches his shotgun. 1:37 p.m. The cowboys have rearmed themselves, and they come out of the gun shop and walk back down 4th to where the Earps are gathered on Hafford's Corner. Both sides eye each other warily as the cowboys turn west on Allen and disappear into the Dunbar Corral. 1:52 p.m. Representatives of the Citizen Safety Committee approach Virgil, offering their help in disarming the cowboys. Virgil tells his brother Wyatt to keep the peace while he's gone and to move the crowd off the sidewalk around Hafford's Corner. Virgil steps off 40 feet to talk with the safety committee. 2:10 p.m. The cowboys leave the Dunbar Corral and go into the OK Corral. A train engineer who is just new in town overhears the cowboys' threats against the Earps as he passes them. The engineer, who knows none of the principals, inquires to the assembled throng at Hafford's as to where he can find Earp. He informs Virgil that all the cowboys are armed, spitting threats, and preparing for a fight as they move through the corral. 2:17 p.m. The crowd at Hafford's corner is getting larger. Doc and Morgan stand in the middle of the intersection and look for signs of the cowboys. Moments later, they see Frank McClary standing on the southwest corner of 4th and Fremont. He has evidently walked through the corral and come out onto Fremont Street. Both parties look for signs of movement, and Frank stays partially hidden as he surveys Earp's position. 2:18 p.m. Virgil takes a drink with Sheriff Johnny Behan in Hafford's saloon. Virgil asks Behan to accompany him and go help disarm these parties. Johnny refuses, saying that there would sure to be a fight if Earp goes down there. Instead, Behan offers to go down there alone and see if he can disarm them. While they are talking at the bar, two separate men come up to Virgil and offer assistance and arms. One of them, W.B. Murray, takes Virgil off to one side and says, "I've been looking into this matter and know you are going to have trouble. I can get 25 armed men at a moment's notice. If you want them, just say so." Virgil tells him that as long as the cowboys stay in the OK Corral, he will not go down to disarm them because it is not illegal to carry firearms in a livery stable. However, Virgil clarifies for Murray, "If they come out onto the street, I will take their arms off and arrest them." 12:28 p.m. Behan leaves Hafford's to go talk with the cowboys. He finds Frank McClary standing at 4th and Fremont. He tells Frank to come with him, and they walk to where the others are standing, west of the OK Corral's rear entrance, just beyond Fly's, in the side yard, just outside the window where Doc is boarding. 2:34 p.m. W.A. Cuddy, a bartender and theatrical manager, hears about the impending fuss in the post office. Curious, he walks down as far as Fly's house and sees Sheriff Behan talking to four farmers. As Cuddy walks up close, one of them, Mr. William Clanton, put his hand on his pistol as if in fear of someone, and then he recognized me and he removed his hand. 2:42 p.m. Virgil rejoins his brothers and the crowd at the corner. John L. Funk comes up to him and warns him of the cowboys' threats. "Shortly after Behan left," Virgil says, "I was notified that the cowboys were on Fremont Street, and I called on Wyatt and Morgan Earp and Doc Holliday to help me disarm the Clantons and the McClarys." Virgil hands Wells Fargo shotgun to Doc and takes Holliday's cane. He instructs the dentist to keep the weapon under his coat so as not to create any excitement going down the street. After the exchange, Virgil says, "Come along," and the four blondes set out to find and disarm the cowboys. 2:46 p.m. From Hafford's corner, the four start up 4th Street. At this point, the Earps and Holliday do not know exactly where and how many cowboys there will be. More may have ridden in and joined their compadres from the west end of town without the lawmen knowing it. Morg words out loud that they may be on horseback. Wyatt dismisses this fear by calmly stating that they will just shoot the horses and capture the cowboys. As the four clear the corner and turn onto Fremont, they still cannot see their quarry. All four squint and scan the streets from top to bottom, across and backwards. Tufts of cold wind sting their cheeks and tug at their coats, exposing the shotgun tucked under Holliday's coat. They keep walking, still no sign of the cowboys. Is it a trap Finally, as Virgil gets about to Union Market, he sees six men standing in a vacant lot just west of Fly's. The parties are Ike and Billy Clanton, Tom and Frank McClary, Johnny Behan, and Billy the Kid Claiborne. As they clear the Union Butcher Shop awning, the Earps see Johnny Behan leave the cowboys and come towards them at a quick walk. Every few steps, he looks back over his shoulders as though he expects danger of some kind. Behan throws both hands up in an attempt to physically corral the oncoming Earps. They ignore him and walk on. Waving his arms, Johnny exclaims to Virgil, "For God's sake, don't go down there, or they will murder you." Virgil is resolute, and he continues walking as he answers, "Johnny, I am going down to disarm them." As the Earps pass Behan, they hear the sheriff say, "I have disarmed them all." With that remark, Virgil moves the pistol in his waistband clear around to his left hip and changes the walking stick to his right hand. And Wyatt sticks his pistol in his overcoat pocket. 2:47 p.m. Sensing the impending moment of truth, the cowboys have slid deeper into the vacant lot to where the Earps can't see them. All Virgil now sees is about half a horse. As Virgil clears the corner of Fly's, the cowboys come into view, all in a row with Ike standing slightly in front. Billy Clanton and Frank McClary have their hands on their six-shooters. Tom McClary has his hand on a Winchester rifle on a horse. Virgil, the veteran lawman, immediately takes command of the situation and says, "Boys, throw up your hands. I want your guns." There is a click-click sound as Billy and Frank cock their guns. Ike makes a move for his breast pocket. Alarmed, it is Virgil's turn to raise both hands up, and he says, "Hold on, I don't want that." As he says this, Billy Clanton throws his six-shooter down at full cock. 2:47 p.m. White pulls his pistol from his overcoat pocket. Later he will testify that Billy Clanton leveled his pistol at me, but I did not aim at him. I knew Frank McClary had the reputation of being a good shot and a dangerous man, and I aimed at Frank McClary. The first two shots were fired by Billy Clanton and myself. He's shooting at me, and I'm shooting at Frank McClary. I don't know which was fired first. We fired almost together. White's shot hits Frank square in the belly. The young Clanton misses. White testifies later that the fight then became general. 2:47 and 4 seconds p.m. With the firing of the first two shots, Tom McClary's horse comes unglued, and Tom cannot retrieve his Winchester. Using the animal as a breastwork, he pulls a pistol from underneath his long blue blouse and fires twice over the horse's back. 2:47 and 5 seconds p.m. Virgil changes the cane to his left hand and goes to shooting. He fires once at Frank McClary and three at Billy Clanton. Still holding the reins of his horse, Frank McClary staggers towards the street, firing as he goes. For a long moment, Tom McClary and his spinning horse blocks the cowboys in the lot and keeps them directly in harm's way. 2:47, 9 seconds. After the first four shots, Ike Clanton runs up and grabs Wyatt's left arm. Wyatt can see that he has no weapon in his hand and says, "This fight has commenced. Go to fighting or get away." And with that, Wyatt pushes him away with his left hand, and Clanton, without stopping, runs into the front of the lodging house, out through the back door, onto the back landing, passes by Behan, over Billy Claiborne, into the photography gallery, through the hall, out the back, around the gallery corner, over the fence, between the outhouses, across Allen, under the freight wagon into Kellogg's saloon, past the faro tables, through the fiddler, and out the back door, down the alleys, and into Alfred Henry Emanuel's building on Tufnut Street, where he secures himself behind a barrel of mezcal. 2:47:15. In the midst of the loud explosions, the agonized screams, and the billowing black powder, the cowboy horses have gone and run down the street. Frank McClary tries to retreat across the street, running past Holiday. White later wondered if Frank was seeking refuge in the house of a woman he was seeing who lived across the street. He stops near an adobe building opposite the lot, turns and teeters with his pistol across his arm. The pistol in his right hand and resting on his left arm, he aims at Doc and says, "I've got you now." 2:47:19. Holiday, with his emaciated frame, turns sideways towards McClary, aims back and says, "You're a daisy if you do." Morgan Earp rises to a sitting position and fires at Frank McClary. The ball takes effect below the right ear, killing him instantly. Frank had been deadly accurate with his pistol. He hit Morgan across the shoulders, Virgil in the right calf, Doc on the hip, and he punctured Wyatt's coat, missing him by an inch. Had Frank not been shot on the first exchange, he may have single-handedly killed them all. 2:47:25. Virgil Earp directs Wyatt and Morgan to back onto the lot into Fremont Street. Doc Holliday remains on Fremont Street for the entire fight, finally moving north to accost a dying Frank McClary. "The son of a bitch has shot me, and I mean to kill him," Doc screams as he tries to make his way through the crowd that has quickly gathered after the fight. 2:47:27. The firing stops. There have been over 30 shots fired in less than 30 seconds. The fusillade came in awkward bursts, lead spasms, starting, stopping, and then multiple shots seemingly on top of each other. The sounds of grunts and screams and metal on bone, the harrowing click-click of seven triggers has died away, leaving only the moaning of the dying. Camillus S. Fly runs out from his boarding house and takes the pistol from Billy Clanton's hand. As he gasps for more air, the dying Clanton gamely asks for more cartridges. The Vizina mine whistle blows, signaling the Vigilance Committee to assemble for an emergency. Within minutes, they are mobilized by twos in the center of Fremont Street. As 70 armed men converge on the scene, the Earps and Holiday have an anxious moment as they realize that they are out of bullets and wonder if the approaching throng is friend or foe. John Behan and many others step out from hiding and wade through the heavy smoke. The sheriff tries to take control of the situation and says to Wyatt, "I want to see you." Earp replies, "I won't be arrested now. You threw us, Johnny." 2:49 p.m. The wounded Earps are taken to a drugstore uptown where their wounds are dressed. From there, Virgil and Morgan are loaded in the town hack and pulled by hand to their home. Billy Clanton lingers for half an hour, thrashing around and yelling. Later, Billy, Tom, and Frank McClary are taken to the Dexter Corral and placed in a back room to await the undertaker. And so the gunfight at the OK Corral ended. Let's continue with the short-term aftermath. October 29th, 1881. Pending investigation of charges, Mayor Clum moves that Virgil Earp be temporarily suspended and James Flynn act as chief of police during the suspension. Virgil has served a total of 163 days. Ike Clanton files murder charges against the Earps and Holiday with Justice Wells Spicer. October 31st, 1881. Justice Wells Spicer begins a hearing to determine if the Earps and Holliday should be bound over for a full-scale murder hearing in district court. Just prior to this, the Virgil Earp residence receives a nighttime visit from a veiled visitor whom they later ascertain was a man dressed as a woman. When Jim Earp answered the door, the visitor mumbled something about wrong house, and he or she quickly left. The Earps, fearing the visitor was an assassin, move into the Cosmopolitan Hotel. November 4, 1881. Will R. McClary arrives in Tombstone from his home in Fort Worth, Texas. He's the brother of the dead cowboys and an attorney. He immediately joins the prosecution team and succeeds in getting Wyatt and Doc remanded to jail without bail. Virgil and Morgan are exempted because of their wounds. November 7, 1881. The two accused murderers are arrested by H.M. Woods and held in the makeshift jail on 6th Street. For 16 days, heavily armed friends take turns guarding the two-room clapboard Huskow around the clock to avoid an assassination attempt by the cowboys. I hope you found our stories interesting. This is Michael Shannon, your Sun Sounds reader, and we'll have more stories for you the next time we meet. You missed a program, you can get it on demand at the Sun Sounds website, www.sunsounds.org. Click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Scroll down to the programming links and choose On Demand Broadcasts. Sun Sounds is also available on your smart home device.